Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. Connect you with the right people. It's great to be here today with Mariah Sautel, blogger and photographer known as the Single Cave Girl. I love that name. Welcome to the show, Mariah.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about having you with us today. We've gotten to know each other a little bit this past year, and it wasn't until Chrissy had said to us, do you know what she's up to? Like this, she's a big deal. So I'm very excited to learn everything about the Single Cave Girl and who you are professionally and dun, 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 the new cookbook.
Yay.
So the Single Cave Girl, just give us an introduction to who you are.
All right. So the Single Cave Girl is a paleo food blog that just came about because I had been cooking paleo for a really long time. I mean, I've been cooking paleo for probably 4 years, but cooking close to paleo for 12 or 13 years. Since I found out I had celiac disease. And so I have a hard time pushing myself to like create recipes and things if I'm not doing it like for someone other than myself. So when there was the pressure of creating it for an audience who was expecting it 3 times a week, I was found myself cooking a lot more. So I started the blog just to kind of have a creative outlet with my cooking because I don't actually enjoy the like act of cooking itself. But I enjoy the food photography and the creation. So it just kind of was a personal motivator for me. And now I have this audience who is like expecting it. And I like, you know, delivering on that to them every week. So
they're holding you accountable, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, absolutely. So
and so for our listeners who may be new to paleo, or that's a word that they're not familiar with, which I can't imagine because you have to be living under a rock if you're not familiar. But could you describe what a paleo diet or paleo lifestyle is as it means to you?
Yeah. So a lot of people think of paleo as being like the caveman diet. I think of it as just being a real food, natural, close to the earth way of eating. So it's a grain-free, dairy-free way of eating. It's mostly just meat, vegetables, fruits, nuts and seeds, and that's kind of it. It's easier to say what it is than all the things that it isn't, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And as it relates to your autoimmune situation, you said celiac, you were diagnosed how long ago?
About, I want to say 12, 13 years ago. I was in upper elementary.
Oh,
and
young.
I started getting sick all the time. Yeah, it was pretty rough. And then slowly started to figure it out. Now it's so much easier to get diagnosed with it, but it was still kind of just becoming a thing back then.
Yeah. And what are some of the symptoms that someone might experience when they have it? I mean, obviously, disclaimer, right? You and neither of us are doctors, but people listening and they're looking to change what they're doing in their lifestyle to try to feel better. If they're experiencing some symptoms, perhaps they can go connect with a doctor and say, hey, what do you think about this? So what from your experience, when people ask, like, what were the symptoms back in early days with you as a young kiddo?
Yeah, so the symptoms are really wide-ranging, and they're starting to realize that it's not just like, oh, I have a stomach ache. So there can be a lot of, like, skin rash. You can get brain fogs. I have brain fogs. I can tell almost sooner by a brain fog than actually how my stomach is feeling. A lot of bloating and things don't digest properly, to say it nicely. And yeah, like gas, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And then basically what it does is it breaks down your intestines. So you lose the ability to absorb nutrients. So then you see all of the symptoms of malnutrition. So hair falling out, paleness, brittle skin, nails are really brittle, different things like that, because you just lose the ability to get any nutrients from food. So a lot of people might be gluten sensitive too, which tends to be just kind of that dietary, or sorry, not dietary, that like digestive discomfort. But yeah, celiac can, like a lot of autoimmune diseases, really just range all over the board.
Before we got on air, we were talking about my daughter, Madison, who happens to be the same age. And she, since she graduated from high school, we haven't quite put a finger on what is going on with her. And the best answer we keep getting is, well, it's an autoimmune disease, like this issue, which is, to your point a moment ago, vast. It's huge. We know that she's had to cut out gluten. We did food sensitivity testing, and there are several things on the list that she had loved as a kid growing up, mangoes and strawberries, things that she would just like consume by the crate, only to find out that that's been, you know, something that she's, her body has not been able to digest well. And she, one of the things that she struggled with is this fast-paced lifestyle as she's getting into her first couple of jobs and living on her own. And that idea of cooking for yourself, you said it when I introduced you, that you've been cooking for years for yourself. When someone eats out and they have food sensitivities or legit, like, you know, issues that they have to be very careful with, I think you'd have to learn which restaurants you can go to. And then you'd also have to get good about cooking at home, because otherwise you continue to put yourself in jeopardy with your wellness. Do you have experience with that, as well as you've been trying to figure out who you are as this human being and this soul with this, you know, kind of special skill set as it relates to what you should be putting in your body?
Yeah, it's so hard, especially because so much of what we do that's like social involves food.
Yes.
So it, especially when I was younger, it can be really difficult to learn how to be in a group of friends and like not be participating in what they're doing, but try to like get them to understand that like I don't feel left out as long as you like understand that you don't need to exclude me.
Or shove something in front of me and tell me, you need to eat this.
Yeah, like I don't need to be eating with you at the table, like eating the same food for us to have a connection with each other. So that's kind of been something that I feel like sometimes I'm still getting over. But so yeah, I think you just kind of learn to adjust to that. Then in terms of being prepared, like I always have a bag of almonds or something with me in case I end up somewhere and I'm like, oh, I really can't have this. Planning ahead and calling ahead to restaurants and asking, like, not only do you accommodate gluten allergies, because every place has their gluten-free menu now, but it's so much more than that. So you have to make sure they understand autoimmune disease. And there's so much more awareness now than there was before that it's becoming easier, but you still do need to call ahead and prepare. And then, yeah, just plan ahead, have like a meal prep done on the weekends that you have stuff at home if like you went all day and you weren't able to find something and you get home and it's ready for you.
And your blog, The Single Cave Girl, do you discuss some of these strategies and these experiences and find that your followers are appreciative and need that knowledge?
Yeah, definitely. I tried to include a lot of single skillet and like single serve things and just a lot of stuff that's really quick because that's what I need in my life. And I find that the audience that I've kind of attracted has the same needs. They need something quick.
And probably from all over the world, I'm guessing. Do you know kind of where these folks are coming from and how do you have an idea of how they find you?
I think a lot of it has been through Instagram. And I do see like a lot of people from overseas. I think like the first international person I had was from Brazil. And then, yeah, a lot from Europe. It's really just kind of been everywhere. I had a girl from Australia the other day who I was like talking with. So yeah, it's really cool.
I was just going to say, how does that feel? Do you love that?
I do love that. I'm big into traveling. So
we were just talking about my daughter moving to Brooklyn. You're like, I think you're going there soon, you said,
yeah.
And have some interest in that area of the world. So I love it. And the Instagram, really social media overall, really gives us an opportunity, at least I feel like, to really feel like the world is just one door away. Like we could go anywhere and connect with people who have similar interests and who knows, even end up staying with them or at least meeting up for coffee or something like that. So I love that you're doing, and your generation specifically has gotten so smart, most everybody, and savvy around how to be this influencer and how to put yourself out there. I mean, you have a cookbook, for goodness sake, and you're how old?
22.
Yeah. I said to Mariah before we got started, I said, because I asked, how old are you? And she shared that she was 22. And I was like, my gosh, you just have this beautiful, soulful, wise, mature aura about you, and then also just this youthfulness and playfulness and amazing creativity. So in addition to the blog and having folks follow you on Instagram, talk a little bit more about the food photography, because that's in addition to having to make this lifestyle commitment and change, you also found your way to this because you love photography.
Yeah. So when I was first getting started, I also work for a branding agency on the side, so I'm big into branding, and I was like, okay, what is going to make me different? Because there are a lot of blogs out there right now. And I was like, I bet if I really try to over-deliver in quality in areas where other people are lacking, I can probably differentiate myself a little. So consistency and then good food photography were the two things that I noticed in autoimmune blogs that were really missing. So I really focused in on studying food photography, and I've loved photography my whole life. I studied it a little in college, but food photography was kind of a new thing for me.
I
took a course on how to do it, specialized in a little bit of restaurant photography because I have always just found it so beautiful. And then I had some people reach out and be like, your photography is really amazing.
Can we work with you? How can we collab?
Yeah. So I had a few brands who liked it. And then I was like, I would really like to shoot for a restaurant because then I can shoot lifestyle, food, drinks, things that I didn't necessarily cook because sometimes I don't always like the cooking part of it. And paleo food isn't always super pretty, let's be honest. So that's kind of grown into a whole business of its own now.
That's amazing. Is there a separate website for that?
Yeah. So my design and photography website is mariahsatel.com.
And your unique spelling for Mariah. So if you want to spell that out for us.
Yeah. So Mariah is Moriah and Sautelle, Sawtelle.com.
Wonderful. And so there we can connect with you for opportunities for food photography specifically. That's kind of your niche right now.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people recently reach out about lifestyle shoots because I've captured so much of that in the restaurant shoots that they're like, do you do this? I had someone ask me last night if I do weddings. I was like, I am not there yet. I would love to shoot second at a wedding so I could practice. But one day we'll be at weddings.
But you're open to, depending on the situation and the potential client, doing the lifestyle photography as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be really, really fun. I think it would be fun to work with brands and do some bigger shoots that maybe weren't even related to food. But yeah, that was just kind of my starting point to break in. But
yeah. Do you also do graphic design as well as a contractor on your own?
Yeah, graphic design, web design, that whole arena, UX design.
Do you sleep? Do you ever rest?
I feel like lately I haven't, oh my word, but I really love what I do, so I'm kind of okay with that. I wake up every morning super excited to go make stuff. So I think that's when you know you found the right
for
job.
Sure. When you're passionate, there's a blurred line between life outside of work and work and what you're doing. And I would imagine it. And I said that jokingly about rest, but again, given what my daughter's been experiencing in her own journey, in addition to me at 54, knowing what things I can and can't eat and how much rest I need to have. I would imagine that you have to make sure that you build in time for rest. Is that kind of a celiac issue as well, that, you know, rest? I know most autoimmune diseases, you've got to really say, listen, I have to find that blend and I've got to take care of myself. Can you speak to that from your own personal experience?
Yeah, that's been a constant struggle for me, honestly, even more so than the food, especially in college. And I feel like I'm still recovering from the damage that I did in college because I didn't allow myself to rest. And I worked nonstop at school. I worked nonstop on my portfolio. And then I was a waitress every night all weekends and just running around. And I definitely didn't eat enough and didn't rest enough. And I lost a ton of weight and it was just not good. And that, your gut can't heal from inflammation if you're not resting. It's key. You can be eating a perfect diet and you will not heal if you're not resting. So dialing back is a big thing that I have to force myself to do. I love exercising when I feel really excited. It just kind of helps me focus to get all those jitters out. I had a brief stint in my life where I was a personal trainer, and then that part of me always just wants to keep my workout routine. But I've had to like force myself to do yoga sometimes or force myself to just walk my dog.
A slower opportunity to move.
Right. Yeah. You have to take down the intensity and you have to prioritize rest and sleep.
And this desire for you to go, 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 and it sounds like you've been high energy all your life, yeah? And also someone who really loves to pay attention to detail and gets excited about whatever it is in front of you. Yeah, we're the same kind of people. I love that. And I've had to definitely slow down. I owned a social media company before opening the studio with a few partners. Our goal was to build up, successfully create the brand and the systems and the process and the clientele and then turn around and sell it. And we did that about a year and a half before we had thought we would, which was fantastic. But what that meant for me personally was driving up to Anthem 3 days a week from Chandler. So that was an hour in the car, both ways, three times a week, working 10, 12 hours a day, sometimes, 7 days a week. And I've got a little guy at home and a husband that I love to spend time with. And I had not been feeling well for weeks, possibly a couple months, and ended up having an emergency hysterectomy and they took my appendix as well. I had let myself go completely. I was getting through the day, taking a leave, and then at night I was taking Percocet or whatever the pain, over-the-counter prescription because we were trying to figure it out, right? The doctors and I were trying to figure it out, but I'm like, I can't leave this company now. I cannot possibly step out. So I feel you. I mean, different situation ended up being endometriosis. So we thought it might've been cancer at the point and who knows where I was headed if we hadn't taken care of it when we did. I had to make a lifestyle change. I had to shift and I am high energy. And like you, I am, boy, if I can see something that I can contribute to the world and beautify it and do something unique and different, what I'm doing with the studio is a perfect example. I consume myself. I could do it for days. And we just have to make sure that we can step back. I don't know about you, but I found that I think you alluded to this when you talked about exercise. When you are excited about something, if you get out and physically move, you feel better anyway. And I can be more creative when I take time and step away. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, and I've talked about with some of my coworkers at the agency I work with as well. Like we feel like we have to start working on an idea at night. So we can go away from it and go to bed. And then the next day, like you just feel refreshed and you feel like you have fresh eyes and you're like ready to look at it and like see something you didn't see before.
Excellent. I'm curious with churning out so many recipes a week, how do you do that? Do you have a strategy, especially when you yourself, I think, are admitted self-taught cook?
Yeah, it's kind of it's interesting. It's evolved. Now I walk my dog for about an hour every evening when I get home from work. So while I'm walking with him, I usually just take notes on my phone. I just talk to my phone and like write down ideas. And then when I go grocery shopping at the end of the week, I get everything that I like kind of thought about. Friday night, Saturday morning, I kind of start cooking and then I'll do the photography usually Sunday morning when the light is good.
And you've got to do it every week because you've got people following and listening and paying attention. And like you said earlier, you've got this commitment to bring them the best that you have to offer.
Yeah, I find if I work really hard, like my max is 6 or 7 recipes in a weekend. So sometimes I can double up if I know I'm not going to be able to the next weekend. But then I find myself during the week, I'm like, I didn't actually really try to cook because I wasn't cooking for other people. And now I'm hungry. That totally happened this week. So yeah, I got to cook for the blog this week.
That's good. So you Instagram, and I don't follow... I mean, I love seeing the pictures, but I don't really follow anybody on Instagram, although I need to start following you for sure. With Instagram, do you put up a photo or a couple, and then do you also give the recipe or do you send them to the blog? How does that work kind of, technically, as you encourage people to engage with you and continue to come back for more?
I always send people the blog. I know that a lot of people will probably scroll past everything that I'm writing before they get to the recipe, but a lot of that has to do with my autoimmune disease and has to do with the inspiration for the recipe. And to me, it's really a part of the recipe. And so I like to just keep it all in the blog. No. And then you can see all the other pictures.
Right. But the Instagram is kind of the teaser. Hey.
Yeah.
And it's a quick opportunity for people to get to know you. And we have to, since you're a graphic designer and you're in the marketing space, it's important for us to mention that there are also some strategies to having it be on a blog and sending them from Instagram over to there and telling the story, right? That's a very popular, especially around food blogging and lifestyle blogging. Here's the story. Here's a little piece of Mariah behind this instead of just, hey, blunk, here's the recipe, because they can go to, I don't know, Pinterest or something else for that if they want to.
Right. And then there's this part of me that worries, like with social media changing, like what if Instagram went away and then all my recipes were gone? But it's nice to have everything on like kind of my own hub where I can send people. And then people who are looking on Pinterest or something like that can still get to the recipe because it's not living on some other social platform. Yeah.
So very wise marketing and business savvy as well. Very good. Tell us a little bit more about the cookbook then. What is the name of the cookbook and any like cool pieces that makes it unique?
So it's called Skillet Life and
perfect.
Yep. I obsessed over every detail of design in it and the photography. Of course, the designer in me wants to redesign everything now that it's out, but, you know.
It'll be whatever you call it, edition two. Or...
Oh, yeah. And it'll look totally different, but be all the same food.
Nothing wrong with that. Right? Repurposing, another marketing and business technique,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, why not? More practice.
So the Skillet Life, is that what you said?
Yeah, so it's called Skillet Life. All of the recipes are made in single skillets. So there's a whole bunch of single skillet ideas from breakfast, lunch, dinner, really anything. A bunch of soups. The soups chapter has got to be my favorite one. And then there's a whole guide in the beginning on how to put together your own single skillet. Kind of meals. So I walk through like how to make your sauce, how to pick your protein, like pick three veggies, pick a base, and then you just kind of make it all in your skillet and dinner is ready and you only have to clean one dish.
Oh my God. Hooray. I'd love that. I need to get it for my husband and my daughter. My husband's the chef in our house. And I say chef, cook, also self-taught, but delicious, delicious food. We've been together for 15 years and I've put on 30 pounds since we've been together. He's a butter and potato and pasta and all the Midwest foods. So, and yet I keep thinking to myself, I need to make some of these shifts so that I can continue to feel better. I love all that stuff, but I could eat them far less. So I will have to talk about getting that book. And so where do we get the book? And is it hardbound? Is it online? Does it come in both varieties?
Yeah. So it's all ebook right now.
Perfect.
Hopefully we'll be in print soon. But yeah, you can just get it on my website. If you just go to singlecavegirl.com, right at the top, there's a cookbook button and that'll take you right there.
And for the folks who are listening who've gotten to know you through Single Cave Girl and following you on the blog and Instagram, is there something different you could tell us from the cookbook and what they would kind of normally see on the blog?
Yeah, so the blog tends to be a mix of things that's not always single skillet.
Oh, sure.
So the single skillet stuff is really, I really work to make that purposefully easy and quick. And then the whole guide on how to piece together everything is definitely unique to the cookbook.
And this, the skillet cookbook, sorry, the skillet.
Skillet Life.
Life, sorry. Skillet Life cookbook is also, I mean, it's paleo. You speak to that specifically.
Yes, it's paleo. And then there's kind of another side of paleo that's called autoimmune paleo. That's a more modified version of paleo for people with autoimmune diseases. So you really have to scale back on some things that can still be inflammatory, even if you are eating full paleo. Like you have to be careful about some nightshades. There are a bunch of different things in there, not too many nuts and seeds.
And you address some of that in the cookbook?
Yeah, so the cookbook, I tried to make the recipes fit that.
Oh, I see. So it is autoimmune paleo.
So yeah, it's not 100%, but there is like a nightshade-free fajita thing. And fajitas are hard if you can't have peppers and tomatoes and things like that. So yeah.
Very smart. Do you see down the road, aside from a different edition of this with some a different cover and that sort of thing, did you enjoy it enough that you would consider doing another one down the road?
Yeah, I think I would. I'm trying to find the time for it, but I would love to do maybe a smoothie bowl book because I feel like I live off of smoothie bowls. And then I've also been thinking about doing some sort of like salads type of cookbook. And then maybe just like an all-around general one with like even desserts in it, because desserts are something I didn't touch on in this first book.
And you tend to do, again, this variety on the blog as well, right? So the first cookbook is the skillet, but then you've got more of a variety on the blog. Well, great. my favorite photos on Instagram are the smoothie bowls.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous. That's one of your things, huh?
Yes, they're really fun to photograph because they're so bright, and I tend to cook a lot of just like meat and vegetables. So then cooking something that has fruit and chocolate chips and things like that is always fun.
Love it. Do you have any tips for folks who are traveling? We had such a nice conversation off air. I'm forgetting if we mentioned on air as well, but my daughter's preparing to move. And most of the time we are her little refuge. She'll come home and she'll look through the fridge and she'll take what she can to load up at her house. And she also works a lot and is extremely busy and hasn't gotten to the routine with buying groceries and meal prepping to the degree that I know that she would like to. Any tips for someone who's traveling or maybe even getting ready to really be on their own somewhere for the first time? How would you encourage them to continue eating paleo and gluten-free, especially when they're out at restaurants and we're worried about cross-contamination?
Yeah, so if you're at a restaurant and they're not going to cater to paleo, gluten-free, and cross-contamination is an issue, then I would really honestly just not eat. I would make sure you have a protein bar or bag of almonds or something with you as backup, just because you don't want to get sick. You don't want to do it. It's not worth it.
And what, can I ask you to pause there for a second? What questions would somebody need to ask? And it's funny that we're talking this. I met a gal for the first time yesterday at McAllister's Deli. And she's like, I've got a really restrictive diet. And she's the first time she had been there. And as she went up to the counter and she placed her order, she was saying, you know, I need a gluten-free. Do you have a gluten-free bread? They said yes. And the gentleman on another register looked over and said, is this a preference or is this like a health situation for you? Because he was telling her that you need to know that we're going to be using the same cutting boards and the same knives. And for her, that was not an issue. But when we're talking about cross-contamination, we're talking about for some people, that is a huge issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always ask if they cook the gluten-free foods in a separate area from the others, if they use separate pans, different things like that. If everything is cooked in the same pan, you definitely don't want to do it because there's all sorts of stuff going on there. So yeah, I always ask that and then ask if they're aware of just autoimmune disease, because some places will be like, no, we don't even know what that is. And then you're like, okay, so this probably isn't going to be the best deal for me. And then in terms of just preparing ahead and being, even when you're busy, I would say just kind of have a schedule that you try to stick to of when you go grocery shopping. Just roughly, and then have like a go-to list of things that you know are going to be quick and easy that you can always have on hand. Go to Costco, even if you're single, like you'll go through this stuff. Trust me. I always buy like almonds and eggs and stuff like that in bulk because I know I'm going to go through them. And there are a lot of good companies that have some snacks that are just easy if you do need them. Epic bars, one thing I love, RX bars, different things like that.
Mm-hmm. And you had said that you love to travel. When you get ready to go, and if you want to eat out, I would imagine you're probably looking ahead and kind of looking to see who in Brooklyn has gluten-free. And I mean, any other strategies beyond, again, planning ahead when it comes to travel? Probably the same thing, packing. I'm going to answer it for you, but making sure you've got some almonds and things just when you get into a pinch.
Yeah, it's preparing ahead, and then it's looking at websites ahead of time and having a list. Whenever I go on a long trip, I always have like kind of do some research ahead of time and make just kind of a long list of addresses of places that I know I can eat at, so that even if we want to be like, oh, we're wandering, we don't totally have a plan, I at least know of something in roughly every neighborhood that we might stumble into where I know I can eat.
Very fun. Is there a place, kind of off topic, but is there a place that you've traveled outside of the U.S.? Have you traveled outside of the U.S.? A favorite place for you?
Favorite, like, place to eat or favorite?
Just favorite adventure outside of the U.S. as a traveler.
So when I was 18, I backpacked through Europe myself.
Wait, and by yourself?
By myself.
Wow.
Yeah. So I still can't even believe that I did that. And now looking back, I'm like, how did I survive? But I was not afraid at all at the time. I don't know how. But yeah, so it's really hard for me to pick a favorite part of that trip because it was so, I learned so much and I met so many amazing people. And there wasn't like a bad or like ugly place that I went. Everything is so interesting.
And some of the different countries that you were traveling to?
I went to Ireland, Northern Ireland, England, I don't even remember all of them now. Belgium, Switzerland, France, probably missed a few in there.
But you stayed at hostels or Airbnbs or a combination of both? What'd you do?
Hostels, and I slept on a boat one night. I slept wherever on some trains.
Yeah. Wherever you can get some shut-eye.
I hitchhiked one time. Wow. It wasn't going to happen, but it happened.
Did you journal? Did you, I mean, is that a book someday in the making?
So I was writing a different blog at the time, and I saved all of the posts, and I'm in the process of like kind of republishing them on The Single Cave Girl. Another thing that I really want to bring into The Single Cave Girl is a lot of travel, because I have traveled a lot in the past, trying to find gluten-free stuff places. And I have a lot of travel coming up. So
keep that piece going and again, repurpose that content. So, oh my gosh, I love hearing that. And somewhere you said you look forward to traveling in the future. Is there a place that you have yet to go that you're really looking forward to? I mean, again, I'm sure there's multiple places, but is there what comes to mind?
I really want to go to Australia and New Zealand. I haven't made it all the way over there. Most of, like, all my international travel has been in Europe. I kind of want to go outside of that.
My sister and her husband are retired now, and they have been taking these incredible trips all over the world, Australia being one of the most recent. In fact, I'll have to have her start following Single Cave Girl, because I think she'd get a kick out of the conversation that you've been sharing with your followers, not only about healthy lifestyle and taking care of yourself through the food and nutrition, but also what it's like to travel. 18. How long were you gone when you took that backpacking trip through Europe?
About 6 weeks.
Six. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Did your parents, I don't know who is in your life, you know, your little nest around you, but how did they, the people who love you most, handle that?
I think they were a little afraid. They told me the night before, they were like, we're a little afraid. And I did.
The night before.
Yeah. And I Skyped with them every night so that they knew that I was safe. We had like a deal that I would like send them at least a picture every night. So, but we ended up talking all the time. So
they were right there with you.
Yeah. So they knew.
I love hearing that. I'm trying to think of what else I can ask. You sound like you, are just this wise soul and really have such vibrancy about you, and so young too. What do you see for yourself maybe, you know, like 5 years out? If you could say, Karen, if I had a crystal ball, this is who I'd like to be in a couple of years. No pressure.
I've been asking myself that a lot lately, because so many opportunities have been coming up, and I'm not at that like wonderful place where you have so many opportunities that you're turning things down. So maybe soon I'll be there. But yeah, I've just been trying to figure out like, where do I want to go? And I really just see myself working as a creative and just continuing to make things for brands. I love visual storytelling. I think that everyone has such a unique story to them, and the things that they create, the brands that they create are so unique. So getting to work as a photographer, as a designer, and finding kind of unique ways to visualize that help them stand out. Because I think everyone has ideas that stand out, and they just don't know how to visually represent that. So yeah, I really just want to do more of that. And I'd like for hopefully my blog to grow a little more, hopefully increase some more awareness around autoimmune disease and eating paleo and yeah.
What I love about what you're sharing right now is that you have created your own personal brand and in a couple different ways, right? And you're finding ways to combine it, the photography, food photography specifically, now restaurants and that sort of thing, and the being now an author of a cookbook and a food blogger and this whole paleo lifestyle, it's in travel, right? You just are this beautiful mecca of who you are. And in addition to that, you also can help other people put themselves out there to tell their story through branding, graphic design, and web design. And to me, as a business owner, that's really important. I always look to people who say, hey, I'm in marketing, digital marketing, or I do graphic design, or I write, or whatever their thing is, and they want me to be a client of theirs. I want to look to see how are you showing up in that same space. So if you're, you know, saying that you're the marketing guru, I'm going to go to your website or wherever you are on social, and I want to really feel you. And if you're not keeping up with it and or showing your chops on your own website, we're not a good fit. I bet you can resonate with that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I feel so much pressure, especially with the photography and everything with my brand, just to make sure that it's all like up to snuff, because it's a portfolio for me as well.
It is, but it's working because you've shared like you were doing out there, and now people are reaching out and saying, hey, do you ever take do photos for restaurants and or this product and this and that? So to what I'm just saying, it's important to do that.
Yeah.
There's nothing more frustrating when somebody says, well, yeah, I design websites. Okay, well, where do I find you? Well, I don't have my own web, or I'm redoing my website right now, so you can hook up with me on LinkedIn. That's worrisome to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely important if you're going to be a creative to have a presence that is, especially like personal projects. I feel like if you are a creative, and I think everyone is creative in some way, but if you're going to work as a designer, I feel like how can you not have personal projects? Like, I feel like you just always have that impetus to just go make something. And so you just end up with all of this stuff. So yeah, share it.
Yes, share it. And I think we can discern whether or not we're a good fit with somebody that we might want to hire as business owners and entrepreneurs. And if I can see you in the work that you're doing on your own site, but also you have this portfolio of things that you've done for people, I know whether I'm a good fit or not. But if it's lacking, then I'm stepping over to the next person and not going to be involved. Is there what I'm so excited about? I keep seeing these visuals of your blog and Instagram, and I need to get on there so I can say that, yes, I really am sensing this is who you are. Is there a favorite blog that you did? And what I mean by that is you had the folks who are following you and interacting and they, you know, you kind of become part of their life, that they found it particularly interesting or exciting. Does one come to mind where you're like, oh, there was this one time I wrote about XYZ, or I prepared this meal and it was kind of funny, or it was, you know, I helped somebody do something like that. Is there a story you could share about how you interact with your followers and what you were able to bring to them?
I think a lot of it, like the big conversations that I've had, have mostly been on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
With posting stuff. Sometimes I'll just have some thoughts, like if I have a bad day, and I have a lot of bad days where I don't feel like I have the health that I want to go and do all of the things that I want to go do. And so sometimes I get discouraged. And so I'll just post about it sometimes. I don't like to go too far into the negative side because I do feel like this positivity is a part of my brand. But I want to be honest about how hard it is as well. And there's a girl, I think she's 14, who has like direct messaged me a few times just kind of on the side. And she has some autoimmune disease and just been like, thank you. Like I had a bad day at school. Like,
oh, you're right.
I forgot a lunch. I couldn't eat what anyone else was having. And I was like, I totally understand. Like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. So it's just, that was a good reminder for me too, of how young I was when all of that started and how isolating it was. Yeah. That was really eye-opening for me to see that.
That's big. And, I would imagine, and I do the same thing. I have my personality out there. I'm kind of a visible person. I'm not pretending like I'm Oprah or even want somebody on a local news. I don't have that level of recognition. But I do have people who follow me, and I tend to be more positive than I am negative. And then stuff happens, life happens, or I'm not feeling well. And I, like you, I want to make sure that I'm letting people see, because social media can be so funny, right? People can make assumptions about our lifestyle and be completely off. But if we're not putting both sides of the coin out there, then we're misleading, right? So I really want to acknowledge you for sharing that piece of you. Because it's real. That's reality. We are human beings living a soulful existence. And that means sometimes there are shit days. Mm-hmm. And there are other days that we just feel like we're amazing. So kudos to you for putting it out there. And obviously, through that authenticity and that honesty, being able to help somebody,
yeah,
who's going through something similar. What else can you tell us about the transition for yourself when you went from having to cook completely gluten-free and dairy-free when you were diagnosed with celiac? I would imagine the rest of your household at the time, because you were young, was not making that transition. Talk to us a little bit about what was that like for yourself.
It was hard. There were tears.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So I have two younger brothers, and then I live with my parents. So it was definitely difficult because they were all not eating gluten-free. Now they actually are all kind of, like, they don't eat gluten-free, especially not my brothers. But my mom, you know, she cooks my recipes. They all cook my recipes. And they've always eaten pretty healthy. But it was just the cross-contamination and trying to figure out how to isolate my stuff was definitely difficult. Yeah, having to get, like, new pans, having to figure out, like, what do I make that is kind of like bread now? And now I'm at this point where I'm like, what's bread? You don't need bread. But yeah, it was difficult. I ate a lot of Lara bars for a while. I started, it didn't last very long, but I did actually try to blog back then. Yeah, and it didn't last, but it was tricky. I don't know if I have any advice other than to just keep sticking with it. There are a lot of really good blogs out there now that weren't there back then. There are a lot of good cookbooks out there. And I would definitely just turn to those because so many people have gone through it now that there are a lot of guides to kind of help people get there.
Well, and that's this whole, I hadn't even thought about it until we started discussing what it's like to share a kitchen and a home with folks who definitely, clearly they were supportive of you, but to have to try to find your way to having to have this different set of, you know, cutting boards and knives and bowls and wow, what a different routine. That whole conversation, I bet, would bring anybody to tears, regardless of how old they are, that when you're living in tandem with people that you love and having to do things differently has got to be tough.
Yeah, it even goes as far as, like, we have a sponge for washing dishes that have gluten and then one for stuff that's gluten-free. Yeah. It's a lot.
And depending on where you are on that kind of the spectrum of your autoimmune situation, some, you know, again, it's okay to cross-contaminate or whatever. And others, you've got to be uber careful because if you fall sick, you're sick and you're down and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much easier now that I live alone and I make my dog eat gluten-free stuff. So,
perfect.
You know, but I still have, like, flashbacks sometimes to living with roommates and, oh my gosh, it was so hard.
Yeah, and yeah. I would imagine that would be very difficult. Again, even in my home where my husband does the majority, all, of the cooking, as I look at wanting to make some changes, I know I'm going to have to take some personal responsibility because to ask him to do that, I'm sure he would once I start modeling it for both of us, but I've got to take the initiative. And I've been putting it off because it appears difficult.
Yeah,
I know for me, one of the things that we've talked about is that food prep, you know, really planning and being prepared ahead of time. And Scott Marsh downstairs from the studio, you know, Scott, he does his show out of the studio, Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit. And he owns Mind, Body, and Strengthening. And he's been somebody who I've been partnering with to say, okay, hold me accountable because left to my own devices, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Let's see. Anything else I hadn't thought to ask Mariah that you think would be great for our listeners to know about you and Single Cave Girl, as well as who you are as a designer?
Oh, there's so much. If you like pictures of dogs, I have a lot of those as well on my Instagram.
Very fun.
And then in terms of me as a designer, I guess I just take a lot of inspiration, I think, like a lot of creatives do, just from the different things that happen to me. And that's definitely how Single Cave Girl came about. Just taking something that's really difficult, something that was really hard for me, and just trying to find a way to make something beautiful out of it. And that is just kind of really what I want for everyone who goes through different things like this, who goes through autoimmune issues, is just finding ways to, number one, heal yourself, and then make something beautiful out of it. And
give back. That's really what you're doing, right? I love that. If we just solve our own problems and keep it close to the chest, who knows who we could have helped if we're willing to put it out there. So thank you for taking that challenge and that personal commitment. The name Single Cave Girl, where did that come from?
It kind of came to me when I was walking my dog and doing another one of my brain dumps. I was just like brainstorming, what is my name going to be? And I deliberated so many names. And yeah, I was like, well, this, if I do that, then my slogan, and this isn't actually my slogan, but I was like, it could be, if you liked it, you should have put bacon on it. And then I started laughing to myself and I was like, it makes me laugh. So I'm going to go with it. Yeah. And now I'm the single gay girl.
It's perfect. And you had mentioned early on in our conversation that paleo has often been referred to as the diet from cavemen.
Right.
So that's kind of a fun play on it as well.
Yeah. Especially because I don't refer to it as that. So it's almost kind of like a joke.
Yeah. 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 Because you did say that. Right. Actually, you don't refer to it that way, but I love it. So now I'm getting even more of the humor coming through. Well, it has been a pleasure, Mariah, to have a chance to get to know you from this perspective. And again, I do hope you'll come back again with us and share some more about yourself. Just so many, you're just this, I'm going to use the word influencer. I don't know if that's appropriate for you. That's that, again, that my generation looking go, oh, I see what she's doing. Like, I know what I'm talking about. But as an influencer, someone who's out there, who's creating your own brand and providing a service to folks who really are looking to have some help in this area around healthy cooking and wellness as it relates to gluten-free and a paleo lifestyle. Congratulations. And I'm sure there's more for us to talk about around food blogging in addition to photography. And we'll stay in touch and learn more together.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And then one more time where we can find The Single Cave Girl, both on Instagram as well as thesinglecavegirl.com.
Yep.
And then for your photography and your design work, it is mariahsautel.com.
Yep.
And again, the spelling is M as a monkey. Yeah, or Mariah. MORIAHSAWTELLE.com.
Yep.
Wonderful. All right. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.